Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Insight Performance Coaching, Mr. Stan Peek. How are you, man?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the show, gentlemen. I'm excited to be a guest of yours.
Well, Stan, can you share a little bit about Insight? What are you doing for folks?
Absolutely, Lee. Thank you. It's basically we do performance and business coaching, and I list both of those because we do coaching from anyone from business owners and business leaders to those people who are hoping to move up the ranks within their organization. And we really do everything from strategy and leadership to sales strategy, culture, really looking at what it takes to unearth the potential of you, the leader, and your business.
Now, how'd you get into this?
You know, like you, I had a fitness background. We were talking a bit before the show, and I had an 18-year career in fitness, very passionate about it, still am. And it dawned on me over the waning years of my fitness career that it wasn't just about working out and it wasn't just about exercise science. Fitness was really a platform to help people reach their potential. You know, I saw a lot of people do better in their business, improve relationships, tackle amazing goals. I mean, I've seen people and help get them to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro or kayak in the ocean or run their first marathon. And really, fitness helped them become the best version of themselves. And that's what I loved about it the most. And while I'm a keen student of business and passionate about it, and, you know, a four-time business owner, really coaching for me is about leveraging the potential of the business and of the leader, again, to be the best version of themselves they possibly can be.
Now, when you're working with a new client, especially, how do you kind of begin the process?
Well, we go have a bit of an intake process. We go through everything from the ideological side of things. You can't really grow a business unless we know why they're in it in the first place. So I always like to take a potential business owner or a current business owner through their purpose. You know, why? What is your big compelling why? What are your core values and what is your mission? You know, what are you really trying to achieve through this business over and above making money? Mm-hmm. Which, of course, there's nothing wrong with. We believe in profit maximization, but also maximizing the impact that your business can have.
Now, so this sounds like how you would also maybe approach somebody in their fitness. Like you have to know if they're trying to, you know, lose weight or they're trying to climb a mountain. If you don't know where they want to end, it's hard to know where to begin, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of places and anything to get someone off the couch coming from a fitness perspective is a good thing. That being said, you know, there's a lot of places to go if you want to lose 20 pounds. You know, the way my colleagues and I would go about it is what is going to get someone into a different lifestyle? Because we weren't that interested in, you know, thanks a lot, lost the 20 pounds, I'll see you if I need you again. You know, fitness isn't an anecdote for a problem. It's really more of a way of life and again, bringing that best version of yourself and realizing what's possible. We had a lot of people that would come in and want to lose the 20, 30, even 100 pounds. And the next thing you know, they're booking a plane ticket somewhere else exotic in the world to tackle an adventure that 6 months or a year before would have seemed completely impossible. And so there's a lot of parallels between really the fitness background and working as a business and performance coach for sure.
Now, when you're working with that professional and the maybe it's an entrepreneur, or like you said, it might be just somebody that has a job that's looking just to get promoted. How can they really hone in on the why that they're doing it? Doesn't that take some work that sometimes it's not obvious? Like some people think like, oh, I want to drive a fast car or I want to make X number of dollars. But really, if you dig deeper, it might be, you know, I want a family or I want, you know, to be able to have my kid go to college.
Lee, a great point. And it really is about digging deeper. And one of the, my favorite tools to do that comes from the work of Jim Collins, who many on your show would have realized wrote books like Good to Great. And so one of Collins' tools is the five whys. And so when someone, you know, you say, why do you want to move ahead in this organization, or why do you want to start this business? Then you're going to get an answer. And sometimes it's a great answer, but a lot of times it is more surface. Like, yeah, I want to have more money, or I want to enjoy a better lifestyle. And, you know, the five whys exercise, okay, great. So why is that important to you? You want that fast car. What will that do for you? Why is that important in your life? And by going deeper, by asking the question why five times or in five different ways, usually you get something that's a lot deeper and a lot more compelling. So that might be something around freedom. You know, it might be something around the fact that somebody was really unhappy, deeply unhappy, and they wanted to do something they felt mattered. And when you get that level of compelling why, oh, the possibilities in the business are way more exciting. And the likelihood of that entrepreneur or that business leader quitting is far less likely. And that's when we can really have some fun.
Now, when I had my fitness business, one of the things we would build into any program was kind of dealing with setbacks. And I recently read a book called The Obstacle is the Way, where the obstacle is just part of the path. It's not something you get around or you go under or you climb over. It's just built into the path. So if you look at it that way, there really are no obstacles. How do you help your clients turn obstacles into opportunities?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that exact phrase, because that was the name of one of the more popular speaking engagements and series that we've had lately. And I really believe that you're right. The obstacle, not only is the obstacle the way, the obstacle I try to teach people is actually a gift. So the most significant gift I received in the last year was I dropped my kid off, you know, at a camp, and then I decided to go mountain biking for an hour or so before I began my workday. And first run of the day, I took a header off of a bridge and landed upside down, and I actually broke my back.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, that was not wonderful at the time. I thought I was paralyzed. And in that moment, I mean, first of all, you're just happy to not be paralyzed. I had to wear a back brace for 3 months. I was in the hospital for a week. But really, I was in the hospital on the second day. First day, I was a little bit in a daze because of the painkillers. But first day of clarity was day two. And I came to the realization that I needed to turn this into an opportunity somehow, or I would have been completely hooped. You know, you can't, you know, when you work for yourself, at the, you know, no health insurance at the time, nothing like that. Still in the startup a year ago. And next thing I realized is that it turned out to be 3 months that I wasn't even able to drive, because if you can't shoulder check because of your neck brace, you probably shouldn't be behind the wheel.
Yeah, good advice.
So I had to, right, yeah, it, you know, for anyone listening in a back brace, you know, turn the ignition off and wait until you're out of there. But really, it had to become an opportunity. In fact, I had to find a way to turn that back brake into an unfair opportunity, an unfair advantage relative to my competition, or else cash flow would have been gone. You can't network, can't get from appointment to appointment, and I couldn't work full days. So really, I had to think about that, and it was an opportunity to help others. I'll never forget, I did a speaking engagement in the back brace in a church for a group of, you know, a group of a bunch of people that had been laid off due to economic downturn. And there was a girl that came up to me afterwards, and she was a cancer survivor who had also been laid off. And she said to me, thank you for giving me much needed perspective. No, I thought her, I thanked her for giving me much needed perspective. If she can overcome cancer, and if she can find a positive in my story while she was laid off, really, I had to just dig a bit deeper, and I could find lots of ways to help others, even with a back and not being able to drive. And eventually that landed me with a couple other speaking engagements, the most recent of which was over 100 people, 13 of which followed up afterwards, and a few of which became paying clients. So by looking at a way of leveraging my challenge into a way to help other people, I actually ended up helping my business in the long run.
Yeah, that...
And so... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's a perfect illustration of how, instead of, you know, playing the victim, you were saying that this is an opportunity and I'm going to be the only performance coach out there that's in a back brace. So I'm going to own that market.
It's a very small niche and one you might not want to find yourself in on purpose, but I nailed it. You know, it's true though, because as I say, you know, the obstacle is your gift. I try to get every entrepreneur, every leader has a story. Everybody has a story. And so some people feel like they are here despite their story. Well, no, you've experienced what you have for a reason. And if that thing you've experienced is an overwhelming challenge, chances are there's other people that are going through that right now or are about to. And if you found yourself through the other side, if you've led yourself through that, if you've got experience and advice and tools to share with others, that's an opportunity right there. Be it an opportunity to help others or potentially even an economic opportunity. And you and I both know, and a lot of your guests know, that's the root of entrepreneurism, is if we can see a gap or a need in the marketplace and we can innovate a solution to help a lot of other people who share that problem.
Right. Now, the coaching industry is a tough road, because it seems like everybody is a coach, and a lot of people who, like you mentioned earlier, like, oh, I'm laid off, so now I'm a consultant or I'm a coach. Like they throw these terms around very loosely nowadays. How can a person tell, you know, who's for real, who's good? Do you have any tips in this area?
Absolutely. And really, this is on behalf of the customer. So if you're a business owner or a potential business owner looking to vet out a potential coach, one of the first questions you should ask this person is, how have you helped someone else in my shoes? That's one of the biggest things, is experience and results. And if that potential coach, you know, takes you on a long-winded journey about what they are going to do, I would get suspicious. I would want to hear from my coach, and I have a coach, by the way, too. So you want someone who really is walking the talk and, you know, backing up what they say. And any coach that I would consider hiring is able to tell me, with experience, although not divulging anything that's confidential, that they've helped someone in very similar shoes to mine. That's the first thing I'd want to know. And the second thing I'd want to know is their motivation. You know, are they really in it to just sell, or are they legitimately interested in your cause? Because if they're legitimately interested in your cause, they will. Their effort is going to just be way different. And if they can get behind Yuri, they will move mountains to see your business be a success. So those are the first two things I'd look for: is they've been there before, they've helped other people, and they're legitimately bought into your cause. And probably the last two things is number three: they have owned their own business. If you're looking at business coaching, if you're looking at a life coach, I'd want to see they've got relevant life experience to help. But definitely, you don't want a life coach who hasn't run their own business, because they don't understand the pressures and the challenges. And lastly, is that they've got the right, again, credentials, you know, certification, member of these groups, those kinds of things. So those are four quick ways you can tell if the coach you're sitting in front of is, you know, worth what they're potentially charging you.
Now, I would imagine, since you've been doing this for a while, that you kind of see some patterns. Are there any kind of mistakes that entrepreneurs and business people make over and over? And are there some things that successful ones do well?
Well, every entrepreneur makes mistakes, hopefully. We all know that, and that's how we learn. So the mistakes that I see entrepreneurs make over and over, number one is doing things the way they've always done them. And so you rely on your internal resources, you know, your team, the same way of doing strategic planning, always, you know, meeting in the same place at the same time with the same flow, and no innovation or disruption, and not bringing in any outside help or outside minds, be it a coach, be it a consultant, you know, be it a guest speaker, be it a different business owner from a completely different industry who can share new strategies. You have to be, I love the saying that if it ain't broke, break it. We want to know what's working, and you got to stick with what's working. But sticking with strategy just because it's what you know and do is how I see a lot of entrepreneurs cause themselves unnecessary headache, heartache, and potentially even failure.
Now, when you're working with somebody who is, how do you find these people? I saw, I think I was reading somewhere, that your goal is to help 10,000 values-based leaders live their dreams. How do you, you know, identify and attract these 10,000 value-based leaders to you and help them kind of achieve their dreams? Like, what are your, if you could give me like a step-by-step way of doing that, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. So the first thing, let's talk about that goal. 10,000 people that I can help in coaching in my career is a massive goal. Anyone who's in a coaching headspace, you know, they'll realize that depending on how you structure your coaching, a full client roster could be as little as 8 to 15 clients. So 10,000 is massive. And I chose that number because at first it was 100. And then when I realized that helped, you know, I think it was 45 people. I'm like, I'm way too close to my goal. So then I added a zero and then I added another zero because it had to be a stretch goal. BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. That comes from the work of Vern Harnish under his book, great book, Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. And a BHAG to really stretch a business should be something that you don't know how you're going to achieve it. And it should be on the 10 to 30 year horizon. Now, I do know how I'm going to achieve this goal because it's a big enough goal. It has to stretch my business model, number one. Number two, being a triple bottom line focused business coach. In other words, looking at values alignment and looking at people development and sustainability, I am part of business associations and networking groups that are linked in values. And I have found that even though accountant and business coach might go hand in hand, or marketing professional and business coach, that might be a very logical, you know, synergy. As soon as you can connect on values, you're far more bought into someone else's success. I was meeting the other about a month ago with someone who owns a greenhouse. Now, on the surface, that makes no sense whatsoever because this person already has a coach who isn't me. However, we really align from a values perspective, and now I'm trying to find ways that I can help him, and he's trying to find ways that he can help me. And that's how we'll get to that 10,000 values-based leaders. I'm also going to have to grow the team, both administratively and in liaising with other great coaches out there that are also bent on making their corner of the world better by helping mission-driven or values-based leaders.
So now, how did you identify these values-based associations?
So, but, you know, first of all, is I had to go through it. I mean, I had a leader, and I use the term loosely, I had a boss about 20 years ago who I, through his example, I wanted to do the opposite. I saw this guy being unethical, really didn't appreciate how he went about business, but it was a great experience because through that example, I wanted more and I believed that business could be a force for good. And I thought there's no way you have to compromise your ethics to make a dollar. In fact, the very approach that I learned the wrong way through him ended up being way more profitable as well. So because of that experience, I really started doing a lot more research on leadership. And then I stumbled upon values-based leadership in my time at Royal Roads University, studying under a Dr. Marilyn Taylor, who's a wonderful thought leader in the area of values-based leadership. And once you really stumble upon that school of thought and those trailblazers that are kind of rowing in that direction, then it really, the world shrinks. So there's a business association I'm part of, REAP, which is called Respect for the Earth and All Its People. There's over 150 values-based business owners in this one association alone. I'm also a 1% for the Planet member. And, you know, the more you look into these things, the more you find, and you start meeting some of the same people, and you start realizing that it's a small but growing school of thought, which is a good thing, because truly sustainable businesses, they make wonderful margins. They outperform their counterparts on any financial index, but they also improve their communities and the planet.
Right. Those triple bottom line businesses, that's definitely kind of the wave.
Well, you know, it's funny because people talk about how, you know, it's the information age, you know, coming out of the agricultural age, from the Industrial Revolution, all those kinds of things. Well, there's so much information at our fingertips. It's pushing in a new age called the age of consciousness. So what do we do with all this information? Pretty soon we have to start acting in accordance with what we know to be right. And it's really customer driven. You know, customers are sick and tired of realizing that there are greedy corporations out there making millions or billions, and in doing so, that are ruining the environment or squeezing out mom and pop shops and actually costing jobs, where businesses should be forces of job creation and community improvement. So the great thing about it is that with the more information and the more aware consumers become, they're actually holding businesses to a higher standard of accountability. And this is where that triple bottom line approach becomes far more profitable, number one, and more sustainable, number two. And your customers become bigger fans, number three.
Now, so what's next for you? What can we do to help you reach your goal?
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. Right now, we are continuing to take on the right values-based leaders to help them grow their businesses. And actually, through the experience of Breaking the Back, we're putting the finishing touches on our second book. First one we launched was called Swim Upstream, Unsubscribing to Conventional Wisdom. And really, if people go to Insight Performance Coaching, and spelled INSITE, performancecoaching.com, they can learn more about the associations that we're a part of. We actually love to highlight the work that values-based leaders are doing. We are currently just finishing up our interview with the founder of the number one tequila brand in the world, based out of Mexico, of course, who is doing a wonderful job of preserving jobs in rural Mexico, even despite the fact that he could probably make more profit if he moved all of his operations into one factory. So we're telling the stories of those leaders that are out there living it every day. And if people want their story told, they can send me an email. And my website has all that contact information. And of course, if people want to take their mission-based business to the next level, we would love to help.
Good stuff. And that website is Insight, S-I-T-E, performancecoaching.com?
Yep, INSITE, performancecoaching.com.
Well, Stan, you had me at tequila, buddy.
You got to work hard and play hard, and you got to have fun with what you do, right?
Absolutely. Well, it has been a real delight having you join us this afternoon. What an inspiring, invigorating conversation. Thanks so much for hanging with us, man.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. And I just got to say, I love your approach. I'm a big fan of the show. And like myself, you know, I try to do this. I see you guys doing this, celebrating the work of other entrepreneurs. And you're just telling their stories, and I love it. I'll be a fan for life on Business Radio X. Keep up the great work.
Well, Stan, thank you so much. And just so you know, we are a social enterprise as well, and we help put entrepreneurs in business in different markets so they can tell the stories of business in their market, similar to your tequila person. So maybe we should talk offline about how we can work together in that regard.
Love to.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Stan Peake, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.